We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey everyone, this is Travis May with the Dynasty Command Center podcast. And before we jump into the show, just a word from our sponsor, MyBookie. I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. And sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm just betting on my team because they're my team. Regardless, whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is your best bet this season. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. With pro football, college football, and Major League Baseball playoffs in full swing, and both hockey and basketball right here about to kick off in full swing too, now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in on the action. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with mybookie.ag. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code ROTOVIZ to activate the offer. That's promo code ROTOVIZ to double your cash. I did it, and I'm already jumping in on a bunch of college football and NFL action right now. So visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Welcome to another Dynasty Command Center podcast. We are in full swing for the NFL season. I can't believe we're almost halfway done with the college football season. And we are just moving along right away. If you've been following along with the show, you already know. My name is Travis May. I am the Devy coordinator here at RotoViz. And I'm not joined by Curtis Patrick this week. Our schedules didn't mesh well this week. And life kind of hit us right in the mouth a little bit from time to time, but I still wanted to get the show out here for you. And I was digging through a bunch of numbers this week on the rookie class, because in Dynasty, it's always about the rookies in the offseason and really end of the season. We just want to see the guys that we drafted on our teams go off. Sometimes it's really easy just to kind of miss the progress that these young studs are making. Getting patient with these young players, expecting great things. Even when they're doing something well, they're not always meeting our lofty expectations. So I just wanted to take a good, long, hard look at this rookie class, and at least the top producers, and speak to kind of how they fit into a normal rookie class, like what that looks like compared to recent classes, and where they are now and what they're projected to do down the stretch this season. and hopefully give you guys some actionable moves to make with some of these rookies. Not necessarily just some buy sells, but just to maybe properly gauge your expectations and properly understand what each and every one of these top playmakers are doing, given what they should be doing. But anyway, I'll just dive right in because there's a lot of players to get to talk to. If you follow me on Twitter, and that's at @FF_TravisM, you already may be familiar with a few of the stats I'm going to share tonight, just because I did a thread on some of the rookies in a kind of first quarter rookie review. And that's really kind of what this is. It's a rookie review on this class through four games, plus the Thursday night action. And we haven't gotten to the Sunday games yet, but maybe by the time you're listening to this, those games have started already or they're over. But just wanted to properly tackle this rookie class to really just check in on where these guys are right now. Kicking off things right away with quarterback, obviously we thought Kyler Murray was going to do pretty well. I mean, in college he had over 1,000 rushing yards and almost a perfect passing profile. It's not quite as good as Tua Tagovailoa for Alabama this year, but Kyler Murray looked like a human cheat code, even more so than his predecessor at Oklahoma in Baker Mayfield just 1 year before. And so the expectations were high with Kyler Murray, and we wanted him to be this perfect everything when it came to fantasy football right out of the gate. But given the offensive line that just destroyed, well, got Josh Rosen destroyed last year, we probably should have come in tempering expectations. But with a new offensive coordinator, coach, and situation that likes to air the ball out quite a bit, we could see a situation, a possibility where Kyler Murray succeeded. A lot of people were taking Kyler Murray as a quarterback 6, 7, 8 in Dynasty before he'd even taken a snap in the pros. And truth be told, he's not done very well so far. He has 4 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in his first 4 games, but he's actually thrown it 169 times in those 4 games, which is kind of a crazy pace for a rookie. If you take that and multiply that by 4, because it's through a quarter of the season, through 4 games, you're looking at a season where he's throwing the ball almost 700 times. Last year, the Steelers were the only team that really got that close. I think they're in the 680s in terms of team pass attempts. But it's looking like the Cardinals could get close to that number. And he does have over 1,000 passing yards. He just needs to clean up his interception percentage, which is not exactly what you want to see early on, but definitely can be expected for a rookie. But Kyler Murray, I mean, having over 1,000 yards, 1,071 yards right now through just 4 games, he's on pace to make it up to 4,000 yards, over 4,000 yards, over 4,200 yards as a rookie. That's meaningful. So I hope that continues. And he actually has over 100 rushing yards as well and a score there. He's leading all rookies through the first quarter in fantasy points with 82.85. And it depends on your format. But with, you know, just a standard 4 points per touchdown, he is leading all of the rookies in fantasy points through the first quarter of the season. So definitely not the quarterback 6, 7, or 8. In Dynasty right now, in my opinion. I think there's several more proven options, guys that aren't crazy old that I'm still interested in pursuing over Kyler Murray. But he's definitely kind of answered to some of the hype. He just needs to clean up the decision-making, and that volume is going to keep his value and keep his production up at least at a steady level at some point. So I could see his value popping, especially if we look back on the season and realize, holy cow, he threw the ball almost 7,000 times, had 4,000 yards, maybe 400 rushing yards. It's that kind of almost Russell Wilson type rookie season where he kind of came on late. And so just keep an eye on him. Obviously, he's not a sleeper or anything. But if I own Kyler Murray, I'm not trying to sell him right now. I'm waiting to make any type of decision like that. But I'm definitely not buying, and I'm not definitely overpaying for Kyler Murray in his price if it's in that quarterback 6, 7, 8 range. But if somebody's fed up with his his interceptions and things like that, maybe that continues for the next several weeks as he continues to hash things out in Arizona, I'd at least go fishing for him. But Gardner Minshew, the Mr. Mustache himself, was a really good college player. I mean, put up absolutely gaudy stats for Washington State. A lot of people don't always watch Washington State because they're a Pac-12 team. And, you know, you got to stay up till like 10 p.m. just to watch the start of those games. But, man, in 13 games in his final season, he actually almost got to seven. Speaking of 700 passing attempts, he had 662 pass attempts for Wazoo in his 13 games in just 2018. He had 38 touchdowns in those 13 games. We really shouldn't be surprised that he's found some level of success with the just impressive passing profile that he put together in just his single year for Wazoo. Obviously, Luke Falk is another guy who's kind of limped into a starting role with the Jets, and he put up some gaudy numbers too for Wazoo, but hasn't panned out. He just never had the arm strength. He never had the same type of mobility that's in pocket awareness that Gardner Minshew obviously has. And for Gardner Minshew to hop into the league and basically be the best rookie quarterback to kick off the year through four games, it's just unbelievable. I mean, when you compare him to, you know, Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins, hasn't really, we need to see a lot more from him. But when you compare him just to Kyler Murray or Daniel Jones, who's seen a couple games, he's really just indisputably the best option right now. He's leading in touchdown percentage. He's leading in interception percentage in a good way, and that he doesn't really throw him. And he's, you know, even in his yards per attempt, which weren't impressive in college, for rookies, he's not like throwing down the field like crazy, but among rookies, he is second in that category as well. So really impressive, 900 passing yards, 7 passing touchdowns, and only a few fantasy points so far behind Murray. If you're in a league that really values those touchdowns, he might actually be ahead of Kyler Murray right now. I am actually looking to, if I own Gardner Minshew, I am trying to just shop him a little bit if I have quarterback depth. I've tried to do that in a couple spots, but especially if it's a tight end premium league and you're trying to pivot to a premium position or something like that. There's a lot of injured quarterbacks right now. So just, I believe in Mr. Mustache himself, but at the same time, in Dynasty, I'm looking to take advantage of the opportunity to sell a player that was really, you know, he doesn't have the draft capital. He doesn't have a super strong core of playmakers around him. So I'm okay, even though he might hit, and even though it looks like he has hit, I'm okay moving a player like him just because the team might not feel attached to him. And if things do start to go wrong, and not so perfectly for this unproven rookie with zero draft capital and not much team investment, they might sour on him quickly. And before I jump into running backs and wide receivers, because there are several, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Indochino. Indochino was founded on the belief that you don't need to spend a fortune on a custom wardrobe. Guys just look right when your suit fits well. I mean, like, I've had a bad suit before, and it's just not a good look. I mean, Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They get it right. They make suits, they make shirts, coats, and more, and everything is made to your exact measurements for a great fit. And the best part is that they're affordable. Almost all of their custom clothing is under $400, and the process is simple. You get to choose your fabric, your customizations, and submit your measurements, and your package will be delivered straight to your door in just a couple weeks. You can get measured and design your fit for yourself online at Indochino.com. So start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Blue Wire at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code BLUEWIRE for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. An incredible deal for made-to-measure clothing. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothing that just doesn't fit. But about those running backs, I want to tackle these guys because if you've played any kind of Devy leagues or been into college football for long, or maybe you just follow the recruiting cycle for your favorite college football team, you probably noticed maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago or so, that there was a gap in terms of the high-end running back prospects and running back recruits, and that was the class that was projected to be drafted this year. Miles Sanders was actually the consensus number one overall running back in that class. Josh Jacobs was not actually a highly touted recruit until the last second when Alabama actually offered him. Then his status got boosted up to a four-star. David Montgomery was not really highly recruited at all. So those are the three guys. Those are the three top producers. Those were early draft picks this year. But we knew a long time ago, given the depth of the recruiting class and the athleticism of that recruiting class and the expectations and even college short-term opportunity for some of the top-end guys that ended up fading away, we just kind of knew, man, this 2019 running back class is not going to be great. And so far, it's basically just those three guys because, I mean, just going down the line in terms of total like rushing yards, yards from scrimmage, it's not a pretty picture through 3 weeks. I mean, Josh Jacobs has had running back one opportunity. He is the one bright spot in this class. I mean, he's a first round pick. He's going to get those opportunities to succeed right away. He's actually on pace for over 1,200 rushing yards right now. And eight touchdowns through the first quarter of the season. That's a heck of a lot of production from a first-year rookie. Obviously, you can't get a Saquon Barkley every single year in every single class. Josh Jacobs is definitely the closest thing to that. And so he's definitely, just based on opportunity, going to continue to succeed. The one area where he's disappointed so far, he only has five targets. And if you compare that to a number of other running backs, he's not really leading the pack. I mean, David Montgomery with the Bears, 12 targets. That's actually most among all rookie running backs right now. Miles Sanders, actually second, surprisingly enough. I know a lot of people are disappointed in his timeshare with Jordan Howard. I don't think that lasts for long. But still, 10 targets, 12 targets. And then when you compare that to Josh Jacobs, I know it's a small sample, but you really need to see Josh Jacobs get a few more targets if you want to see him in kind of an elite tier of running back at any point at all. But, I mean, other guys that have more, I mean, Devin Singletary, you got D'Ernest Johnson for the Browns, Mr. No Name, and then Justice Hill for the Ravens, he's got seven targets. So a few of the other options down the line have more targets than Josh Jacobs already. Even, you know, Ty Johnson, who didn't really catch hardly anything in his Maryland career, really is a backup of a backup, kind of their running back too for the Lions right now, still getting more targets than Josh Jacobs. But those top three, though, I think they're really underrated right now because Miles Sanders has had 55, well, if you include the 10 targets and 45 rush attempts, that's 55 opportunities to do something with the ball, and he's gotten zero touchdowns right now. That's that pace of maintaining zero touchdowns is probably not going to happen. I mean, a few years ago, probably remember when Melvin Gordon didn't actually score a touchdown, had ridiculously disappointing yards per carry numbers. A lot of people were down initially on what he could be, but that was a mistake. The 2015 class ended up being a pretty stacked class full of solid options at the running back position. I'm not saying that that's going to happen here, but I think the guys like Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery, Miles Sanders, all guys on pace for, you know, about maybe just over 1,000 yards from scrimmage in their rookie year. That's nothing to discredit or to just sneeze at. After that, though, it gets kind of messy, but I am definitely, out of the three, buying all the Miles Sanders if someone is frustrated with the timeshare there. David Montgomery, I don't think his price is that depressed just yet, but I like his opportunity to increase. He's still 70 opportunities when you look at his targets and his rushing attempts right now. So through 4 weeks, that's not bad. I want to see him just creep up closer to 20 touches a game if he can, but with Tariq Cohen, that might be a little bit difficult. So out of the three, I think the easiest buy is Miles Sanders. And I think the easiest one to ride is obviously Josh Jacobs because he's already got the running back one opportunity. If you want to check out more of his stats in depth and just see how dominating he really has been in terms of opportunity score, you can definitely, we always reference the NFL Stat Explorer at RotoViz. That's just a really great tool to check out. Other running backs, I mean, Tony Pollard, he's flashed at times, but he only actually has, believe it or not, four receptions. He was supposed to be kind of a pass-catching option through the first 4 weeks. Only four receptions for 28 yards. Kind of a disappointment there. He's been really effective on the ground in terms of like yards per carry, almost exactly five. He's got 149 yards on the ground and a touchdown. That's actually good enough for fourth most rushing yards among any running back in this class right now. And that's ahead of, you know, guys with better draft capital like Alexander Mattison, Devin Singletary, Justice Hill, you know, guys that really we probably were higher on pre-draft. But if you watch Memphis at all in college, you knew that Pollard had that that versatility to him, had that electric that electricity to his game. It's kind of a shame he's buried behind Zeke and is really only going to come in junk time for the most part. But definitely somebody to pay attention to, and definitely a handcuff type player to own and trade for on the cheap right now while he's not kind of going off, since he is kind of buried behind Zeke. I mentioned Alexander Mattison, Devin Singletary. Those guys are from number five and number six in rushing yards. And Devin Singletary hasn't really had many attempts. He's just been really efficient with his touches so far. I do hope he grows up into a really good playmaker. I mean, just a couple years ago for FAU, he had like 30-something touchdowns. Just a massive producer at FAU. So always believed in the production profile, his dominator rating. It really, especially 2 years ago, more so than last year. Really impressive stuff. Learning from Frank Gore now. I think he's in a good spot to succeed. Justice Hill is the only other guy I'm really high on in this class. I liked Daryl Henderson's production profile, but he's absolutely buried behind Todd Gurley until the wheels fall off there. Justice Hill, though, I think he's in a spot where, you know, regardless of talent level, I think any running back who is the running back one with the Ravens given the opportunity is going to succeed. So whenever it is that Mark Ingram transitions out with Lamar Jackson at the helm, Justice Hill, I think, can succeed. Already seeing seven targets through four games, I think he's going to see that target share grow down the stretch with these running backs. So all those names I'm excited to kind of look at. Outside of that, I know people liked Darwin Thompson in the preseason. I know other people like Benny Snell, but they're both running back threes, not even direct handcuffs on their team, and it shouldn't be at all in the foreseeable future, really. So it's kind of hard to trust anyone in this class. So yeah, it is kind of gross and not very deep as far as actual producing running backs this year go. But that should actually surprise absolutely no one that was paying attention to college football or this draft class or at all throughout this process. There was never going to be more than three guys that really made a really quick early impact in this group. Let's hope it's more, but I'm betting on Miles Sanders. I'm saying Montgomery's probably in that flex range this year. And Jacobs, just based on opportunity, I'm not high on him long term, especially to ever contribute. I know a lot of people liked his swing passes in college or whatever, but I'm not as high on him. So I'm fading him. If you can probably wait a few more weeks and then sell him on that running back one opportunity, that's fine. But I'm also cool just riding out the production this year, especially if you're in a position to take down the championship. I don't know what you guys do during the day, but for me, small part of my job is working with a warehouse. And when our team is trying to figure out how to sell things online and getting your orders out and things like that, it can be a real pain, time consuming, expensive. There's just so many carriers to choose from. So I don't know how you go about making your best choice, but that's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. ShipStation helps you get your orders out quickly, save money on shipping costs, and keeps your customers happy. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. And ShipStation works with all major carriers. That's including USPS, FedEx, UPS, Amazon Fulfillment, all that good stuff, so you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. They even offer big discounts on shipping costs, which is huge. Now any business can access the same postage discounts that are usually reserved for large Fortune 500 companies, and you'll always know that you're getting the best deal. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. So right now, Blue Wire podcast listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use offer code BLUE. That's just BLUE. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial without even entering your credit card info. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in blue. That's ShipStation.com. Then enter the offer code blue. That's ShipStation.com. Make ship happen. And to bring it home, I just want to talk about some wide receivers in this class, because we've been waiting for a class to kind of have that quick, immediate gratification type production for quite some time, since the 2014 NFL draft class. Really, the 2014 NFL draft class really sparked the growth of Dynasty Fantasy Football. If you've been, I don't know how long you've been playing Dynasty, or even if you are, maybe you're just really into football stats and coverage and you don't even play fantasy. I don't know where you are in your fantasy football journey, but I saw a huge spike, and I think a lot of people have seen a huge spike in people playing Dynasty since that class went off. They're like, oh, wow, rookie wide receivers can be amazing. Like, you've got Odell Beckham Jr. It took a while, but Devontae Adams, Mike Evans. I mean, just an absolute star-studded class full of playmakers that wowed us from essentially day one of their careers, whenever they hit the football field and exploded in just an unbelievable way. And so we really wanted a class like that. You know, it's been kind of rough sledding here. We've had disappointments with injuries, especially like the class with Corey Davis and Mike Williams and John Ross. And, you know, there's just been a bunch of non-exciting options. I mean, there's been guys like Juju Smith-Schuster hit, but even he's disappointing this year. But this season, we've actually got a lot of players to get excited about that they weren't all the players we expected, but they are going off in a pretty significant way. We've got 9 receivers through the first 4 weeks that have over 100 receiving yards. We've got 10 with at least 10 catches through the first 4 weeks of the season. And so lots of players making splashes, and that's not even including Mecole Hardman, who's had a couple impressive touchdown catches. He's at 8 receptions, but you go down the list, we really shouldn't be surprised who leads the list this year. I think there was a lot of ridiculously embarrassing negative buzz surrounding Marquise Hollywood Brown just because he had that slight frame, he had the foot issue, he didn't get to participate in the combine because of the foot issue. And so there was some concern. They were saying, you know, people saying that, well, he doesn't fit into right, you know, the right decision trees and all this nonsense. But the truth is, and I'm not dismissing metrics, I love them, but really the only thing that was really wrong with Hollywood's profile was his weight. And we really don't really know what he was playing at in his final season at Oklahoma. We just know what he weighed in at the combine. But if you're not in shape, if you're not being able to kind of hold weight because you can't even really run on your foot, I'm not sure we can rely on the weight that we had at the combine. So to see him go off, thanks to his unbelievable speed, thanks to his unbelievable route running, thanks to his unbelievable yak creating ability. And I really want college football to get better at just tracking the right metrics and the right stats, because man, there's with NFL, you know, next gen stats, if there was that much information for college football, I think we'd understand these wide receiver prospects a whole lot more. But charting Marquise Hollywood Brown, the dude succeeded on basically 15 different route combinations, and from all levels of depths of the field, he was able to score touchdowns. There's no reason to believe, you know, with the draft capital And basically an empty wide receiver room for the Ravens coming into this year, there was no reason to believe he couldn't succeed. And he's already got 34 targets in 4 games, almost 9 targets per game, has 18 receptions and 300 yards through his first 4 contests. He's on pace for 1,200 yards, 1,200 yards and 8 scores as a rookie. It's dangerous to play the extrapolation game. He's probably not going to keep that pace exactly. But he probably should be the wide receiver 1 in this class in terms of value. I know that a lot of people like N'Keal Harry in pre-draft. I know a lot of people still love A.J. Brown, and DK Metcalf is going off like crazy, making one big play a game, it seems, on one route at a time. And it doesn't matter because the Seahawks are taking advantage of what he's good at. But I think really Hollywood Brown, because of the speed and the opportunity that apparently exists now with Lamar slinging the ball kind of accurately at times, and definitely slinging it in the direction of Hollywood all game long, I don't think there's any argument as to whether who the, you know, whether Hollywood should be the wide receiver one right now. I think a lot of people want to get all up in arms about that type of statement, but can't argue with the production. And if he does finish with 1,000 yards plus maybe a half dozen touchdowns, that's going to be a season that we haven't really seen exactly from a rookie, especially with that much negative buzz surrounding him in quite some time. But almost just as impressive, and maybe even more so, Terry McLaurin for the Redskins. I mean, not in a great situation. I mean, per the head coach, they don't really even have a quarterback right now figured out. But he's still found a way to grab 16 balls in just three games, really, and for 257 yards, three touchdowns. That's actually leading leading all rookies in touchdowns right now for receivers. So McLaurin, and that's what he did in college too. All he did was score touchdowns. His touchdown percentage on his receptions was unbelievable. So if he can gel with his college quarterback, and they find a way to make that offense tick, McLaurin's going to, his value is only going to continue to rise. He's on pace for, you know, about 1,000 yards this year. I don't know if that's going to happen if they tinker around with the quarterback position a bunch there. But McLaurin looks like, I wouldn't say he's the wide receiver two in this class just yet. But if he keeps this up, even though he's slight, even though he had a horribly embarrassing production profile in college, I'm still apt to buy into McLaurin. He's not, he's not fake. He was more of a film-based grade type prospect. You just kind of had to go with it on a guy like that. And that's hard to do. And that's not really what we like to do at RotoViz, but really can't argue with the results so far. So I am buying into McLaurin. I'm not buying on his price right now. I want to wait and see if he has a couple games that he misses because he's questionable here, and see if the quarterback play just kind of messes up his production, and then go buy him. But I mentioned the Ole Miss wide receivers, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf. Through the first couple games, I saw somebody pointed out they both had, you know, 10 catches for 223 yards exactly. Obviously, Metcalf messed that up, having a really long score on Thursday night. But A.J. Brown, I think, is going to find a way to continue being productive. He's actually, you know, number one in the entire league and yak above expectation. His teammate Corey Davis is number 10 on that list, but both are yak creating monsters right now. And Mariota's actually had a sneaky good season, 7 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Obviously not crazy yardage totals, but AJ Brown is definitely, he could definitely become the wide receiver one for the Titans. And he's kind of already looking like he is that this so far this season. DK Metcalf really just has to compete with, maybe Will Disley now. And we were talking about him a couple weeks ago, and it looks like he's the real deal, but not going to have a huge target share there. But DK Metcalf doesn't need a huge target share. I mean, he's got to beat out basically, he's not going to be out Lockett, but he's only competing with Lockett and kind of Will Disley. He's going to have all the deep work. He's still only running 2 routes, but it doesn't matter. So I think if he continues hitting those big plays, his value is only going to rise just because of the freak athlete that we already know he is. But I'm buying high actually with him just because I think he's got that role. He's got one of the best deep ball threat quarterbacks in the league. They are using him exactly how he wins in situations that are perfect for him. I think that's going to continue. I like him as a boom bust flex and a solid wide receiver 3 with wide receiver 2 upside if he learns how to do more than one or two things at some point in his career. So definitely like DK Metcalf now. I was a little concerned, some health issues, some not perfect adjusted dominator in production metrics, but it doesn't matter. You're just nitpicking with a guy who looked like a slam dunk, passed the eye test, as they like to say for sure. A couple other guys I'm super excited about just because I was fans of theirs at some point. Deontay Johnson and Preston Williams, 4th and 5th right now in terms of fantasy points for wide receivers through the first quarter. Preston Williams was one of the nastiest deep in route running wide receivers in all of college football. That's showing up. He's run a lot of short crossing stuff. He had a bad drop last week, but he's getting the targets. Not a high catch rate so far, but he's getting 30. He's second in targets right now with 30 among all rookie wide receivers. So The Dolphins are finding a way to fail and trying to do so terribly bad. But if he ever does get a quarterback, if he, let's say he gets Tua Tagovailoa throwing him the ball next year, his price could skyrocket. So I don't care what his price is. It's just not very high still. I'm definitely all about buying into Preston Williams right now. Deontay Johnson, I wanted to root for James Washington because I love him a lot. But Deontay Johnson had over 2,000 all-purpose yards just a couple seasons ago in college. And we should have all been all over him. I think some people were this, you know, rookie draft season. But in terms of Devy and really planning ahead for him to really hit, a lot of people weren't. And I think my concern was he came from Toledo. He wasn't always the featured wide receiver on his own team, except for when their lead guy was injured. And Cody Thompson kind of led the team after he kind of exploded, but he still had a questionable physical profile. He wasn't he didn't have anything that popped that made him elite outside of the all-purpose stuff to his production profile. So I was questioning where he would fit, but when he got the draft capital, I was like, you know, we should probably take a look here, because if he is a wide receiver too for Pittsburgh, he's going to be a productive option. And he hasn't had a huge, he had that long touchdown from Mason Rudolph. He hasn't had a huge start to his career, but if he continues to speed up and he maintains that starter status down the stretch this year, he could easily hit 800 receiving yards this year and be one of those guys that goes in the mid rounds of dynasty drafts next year. But outside of the guys I've already mentioned, Keyshawn Johnson and Hunter Renfrow have been fun little splashes in the pan right now, but I don't think I'm really buying into them long term. Deebo Samuel, I think he is exactly what he needs to be. He's looking pretty solid, but he's more of a complimentary wide receiver. I think he's going to be in the NFL a long time because of his route running. Maybe he disproves that and he becomes more than that, but I think he is really just a long term flex. Maybe Paris Campbell just needs to get some kind of quarterback play going. His yards per reception are just awful right now. It's basically like a running back, 6.2 yards per reception, but he's way faster than that. So if he can work downfield, expect his stock to pop. I'm all over buying Paris Campbell right now. Also all over buying into J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, buying him low right now as well. And even guys like Miles Boykin, who's just kind of forgotten a little bit this year because of the explosion of Hollywood Brown. He could definitely figure things out and put it together. Only 48 yards receiving, but does have a couple of touchdowns already. So definitely interested in him. I had an old Devy share of him. I thought he was going to turn into nothing. Ended up going in the second round. Love that type of hit, but would love to see him succeed just because he has a lot of raw physical tools. And I guess I would be not doing my duty if I didn't mention the pair of Iowa tight ends that are succeeding, and Dawson Knox, former Ole Miss tight end, never caught a touchdown in college, but just caught his first touchdown in a game since the year 2014 when he was still in high school. Pretty awesome to see him finding some success, for the Bills. But it looks like the tight ends in this class, there could be at least three decent options. I would love to see Irv Smith succeed, but he's not doing anything, and the Vikings really aren't doing much of anything through the air. So it's really just the three options right now at tight end for the rookies this year: TJ Hockenson, Noah Fant, Dawson Knox, all with at least 130 receiving yards and a touchdown so far. If they continue that pace, they're all going to be back in tight end ones in terms of average draft position after the season, if not higher. But Dawson Knox is a guy I am out of the three. That he's not the consensus obvious go-to option in this class, but I think he's done enough to convince me that he's worth, you know, whatever price he's going for right now, because it's still not enough at all. But I thank you for joining me for another Dynasty Command Center podcast. You can definitely check out my stuff at RotoViz, Curtis's stuff at RotoViz, and he'll be back on the show next week for sure. But always feel free to hop into our premium Slack. It's just a great community as well. You can check out DynastyCommandCenter.com. But my name, again, is Travis May, at FF_TravisM on Twitter. I'd love to chat about these rookies, college football, NFL, whatever the heck you want to talk to me about, for the most part. But Thanks again for joining us for another Dynasty Command Center podcast. And until next time, keep living that Dynasty life.